The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Aware of how we hold our concerns. So there are many concerns that people have, of all kinds. And a concern is something that we're thinking about or preoccupied with. And certainly some things need to be thought about, need to be considered. And it's part of human life to do that. And then there are things which we've considered, maybe need to be considered, thought about, but we've done it 332 times in the last 20 minutes or whatever, you know, over and over again. And so it's the, maybe we don't have to think about it that often. There's no need to. And then there's some things which we're concerned about that don't really need to be a concern at all. But regardless of what the concern is that we have, when we do mindful, we can become aware of how we're relating to the concern. How are we holding it? How are we thinking about it? What's our attitude towards it? So you could be thinking about getting the oil changed in your car, okay, because it needs it. And the oil needs to be changed. And it's just like a thought that goes through, and very quietly you wonder, you know, well, where should I get it changed, and when do I have time to do it, and just very, you know, simple thoughts. Or there can be anxiety about it. They go, oh no, I have to do this. If I don't do it soon, my car is going to come to an end. If I better do it soon. But I have to better choose the right place to change my oil, because then people will know that I make good choices in my life. You know, and there's a lot at stake in choosing the best place for changing oil. And now I have to look it up on, I have to Yelp all these places. I have to kind of do all this thing. It's really important I get it right. And so there's this intensity around just getting the right oil change place comes in, you know. And so it's very different than the intensity of getting the right oil change place, and just very kind of calmly, I have to think about it. I should find a good place. Maybe I should Yelp and see if the local place is well Yelped and something. But how we relate to something is something that we become aware of as we practice. How are we holding it? What's our attitude? And so when we sit down to meditate, that's a great laboratory to see that, and to see if there's tension or contraction or intensity around our concerns. And the intensity and the contraction and the tension is different than the concern itself. They're two different things. And as we meditate, especially the kind of context of meditation, sometimes it becomes a safe place, appropriate place, the intensity of the concern begins to relax. The concern still remains, but the intensity of our involvement with the concern begins to relax. Maybe enough that we realize we have some choice whether we pick it up or not. And maybe you say, well, actually, for this half an hour meditation, I don't think I need to keep thinking about it. I've thought about it a lot before. I can think about it again later. But I don't have to do it now. Maybe there's something better to do right now than to keep churning away on the same thing. And so the intensity, the tension, the contraction falls away. And with that, sometimes the concern, thinking about the concern falls away. And then we have maybe a fresher viewpoint. We have a more relaxed viewpoint. We have a different perspective from which to then later go back and look at the concern. So a very important distinction that mindfulness practice can reveal is a distinction between our concern and how we hold it, our concern and how we relate to the concern. And a huge way of finding freedom is not to solve our concern, but to dissolve the intense way in which we're caught in the concern, we're involved in it. The concern will remain, maybe. If it's an appropriate concern, then you can pick it up with a more relaxed mind and look at it. Or you can, but sometimes, you'll discover that that the problem you had didn't really exist in the first place. So, you know, I think it's usually attributed to Mark Twain, who said, "I've had a lot of problems in my life, many of them which never happened." And so anxiety, the problems that have to do with anxiety are often enough like that, that we're worried about some imaginary future, some imaginary outcome. Sometimes we don't even know what that outcome might be. We don't have even an idea of it, but still we're relating to some mythical problem in the future that's going to befall us. And or sometimes we do have a clear image of what's going to be. And then sometimes those things come along, but sometimes they don't. And so we spend a lot of time imagining something that never happens. Or it happens, but it doesn't happen the way that you anticipated. And so the idea that some of the problems we have are not real problems is a really interesting thing to consider. As the mind gets quieter, maybe you can look, is this problem a real problem? Does it really exist? The problem that I need to find an oil change place that's going to protect my status as one of the most significant meditation teachers on the corner of Hopkins and Birch. Is that a problem? Is that really a problem? You know, and if I get really calm and relaxed and really mindful, I think I'll see through that one too. This is not really a problem that I should have, you know. I don't think I have to worry too much about my, you know, how people look at me here at the corner of Birch and Hopkins. And so what are your problems? We all have problems. But can you take a new look at them? Is there a different vantage point in which to look at them? And so one vantage point I'm saying today is the vantage point of how you hold your problems, how you relate to them. And maybe if you look at only how you relate to them, maybe it's okay to relax some of the intensity around it, some of the way you hold them. And then you can look at the problems themselves and see how much do they belong to an imaginary world, an imaginary outcome, what you think might happen, as opposed to what really happens. If I have a flat tire, that's a real problem. If I worry about getting a flat tire, you know, it's probably, sometimes it's good to worry enough, just enough to make sure I have a spare tire in my car, you know, or AAA or something to take care of it. But if I'm constantly worrying about flat tires, I have, in fact, worried about flat tires in my car for many, many years without getting one. You know, it was an imaginary problem in some ways. So it's possible that some of your problems don't have to be problems. They might still be something that needs to be addressed. Maybe they're real enough that something needs to be addressed, but maybe they don't have to be problems. Maybe the idea that there's a problem is a problem. Some things are imaginary, some things are guesses that we're living under. So meditation can help us with both these, can help us with understanding how we hold our concerns, and can help us question whether the concerns we have are really the right concerns to have. And these can deal with very deep existential things. Like, you know, we have sickness, old age, and death. In Buddhism, is the classic problem. But how much are we living in an imaginary world? How much are we projecting into the future? How much are we imagining the situation in the way that we are challenged by things like sickness, old age, and death? These are such basic human phenomena that if people are lucky enough to live to an old age, they have to deal with old age. This is what comes with the territory. And so the problems of old age, what are they really? How much are they? Are some of the problems real, or are some of them imaginary? and we can kind of hold them more lightly. So those are words. May your mindfulness help you to be more at ease in this world.